It seems to me the city, just like it doesn't want to challenge a seaside company or merchant interests, it doesn't want to challenge UCSC.
There's another item, item 16, application for year 2003 federal law enforcement block funds. This is the kind of stuff that always makes me a little nervous. They're applying for a big federal grant. What are the strings attached? What's the money going to be used for? How much city money are they going to have to throw into this bid thing? Again, it's an expansion.
That's the consent agenda again with no discussion.
No discussion. And it also isn't very well described on the agenda. Then we have another consent agenda, charge to the Council Public Safety Committee, number 24, Councilmember Rotkin. That's the Rotkin alarm, warning, Rotkin. This is a motion to clarify that the council's intention is for the Public Safety Committee, that's a committee of the City Council, which will usually meet in open session, advertise to the public, and encouraging their participation, may from time to time meet in closed session to allow Public Safety Committee to review and discuss confidential police records and files, internal investigation documents, and other confidential documents. The city's police review consultant, that's that guy they put up instead of the police review board, Bob Aronson, the $40,000 replacement for the voluntary free board, the one that's supposed to save money, the chief of police and his designees, the city attorney and other city officials may also be present at the closed sessions as long as the issues discussed matters are considered appropriate to the Brown Act. They can do that anyway. Why are they putting that on the agenda is my question. And the answer is, the Public Safety Committee, I don't know what the answer is, but one of my fears is, I'll voice my fears, the Public Safety Committee used to be closed public. The reason it got open was because the man you heard before, Nick Whitehead, who did that play you heard, and I, who are a part of a group called Stop Police Abuse Now, simply walked into a Public Safety Committee meeting and refused to leave.
And we said, this is a city council subcommittee meeting, you can't close it. The chief of police jumped up to arrest us, and Scott Kennedy, still vaguely in his liberal mood, that was back in 1990, and perhaps concerned about him being embarrassed, said, oh, wait a minute, don't arrest him. So, and after that, they suddenly began opening up the public safety committee meetings. So the public safety committee is the group that supposedly reviews internal affairs processes in the police department. Obviously, if personnel files are being looked at, you know, you can have, you know, a private meeting. But the idea that suddenly every single thing a police officer does is sacred, stamped, confidential, and top secret, which is what we've had. That's what made the investigation into the Kosovo police misconduct, for which Officer Lefebvre was found guilty of excessive force in the handling of Juliana and her child, the woman who he pain compliance hold twisted so that she was almost losing control of her baby. And Steve Argue punched that officer to stop him from doing that and then served 7 months in jail. Argue was convicted, but Lefebvre also left the force, and he was found guilty after the only independent review in city council history, in Santa Cruz history, of a police department action. We have this item appearing on the agenda, item 24, consent agenda. And again, the problem with all this is, I can talk about it, I can say it's 2 days away, I can even show up and talk about it at city council, maybe for 3 minutes if they don't shut me down
to 2 minutes. Or
30 seconds, once Fitzmaurice gave me 30 seconds per item. That was quite something. But what good does it do
unless we have some independent force operating here,
unless people get together and make changes?
And that's, of course, what we were trying to do for a while. And I know, Joe, you've been somewhat critical of my rather clumsy agitational methods. You have perhaps some more productive ideas on how to proceed to mobilize people on the streets or in the communities to
change things.
Oh, I'm just a fan of whatever works. So, I mean, if it can be demonstrated that your agitational techniques lead to some, you know, profound social change, then I'd be the first one to embrace them. I mean, I tend to...
The person we need to talk... Well, he's just arrived. It's Swami Y. He's here.
Hello, yes, I know, yes.
Swami Y, actually, I want to introduce him. He's the man who actually, he held forth on the streets yesterday,
and he perhaps can answer a few questions.
Swami Y, have you seen this city council agenda?
Well, no, I don't really need the city council agenda because I find it difficult, very difficult.
Well, Swami, why you've heard this discussion of police misconduct and the downtown ordinances. Yesterday you were saying that the downtown ordinances have some positive merit here.
Yes, I did. I did say that, yes. But what I'm trying to say to all of you out there is you must respect the merchants. Now, this individual you have in the studio with you, what is your name, sir?
What is your name?
Joe. Mr. Joe. What do you have against the business of downtown?
Nothing against the business.
Why are you criticizing them? Why are you criticizing our city council?
No, well, the city council, that's a whole different thing.
Wait, what do you mean it's a whole different thing? They are friends? Why can't you be friends with these people?
Oh, friends is fine. It's when they pass legislation that's detrimental to the free exchange of ideas and literature and stuff downtown, then they put themselves on the wrong side of the issue.
Oh, please, anyone can distribute literature who wants to distribute literature downtown. It is a very easy thing to do. I have seen you distributing the literature downtown. So please do not tell me that you cannot distribute the literature downtown. Now, what you're trying to do here is to discredit the members of the city council who are charged with the responsibility of helping the people of Santa Cruz. Isn't that true?
Guilty as charged.
Well, at least you admit it. Now, what exactly do you intend to do when the city council is
taking a much-needed rest and vacation for the next 6 weeks?
You say that the city council is not fulfilling its responsibility to re-examine the downtown ordinance?
Yeah, well, let's take a look at it, you know, in terms of why Swami, why. I love it.
That is what they call you, why Swami, why.
Why Swami, why.
I choose that name, but there you are.
We're looking at rewards. It's like, look at the response they got from Naughty's arrest. Okay, yeah, Dan White, you know, wimping out, or maybe it's the editors. Who knows what happened with that story?
You're
not reporting on the thing.
Attacking a newspaper, man. And you're
attacking a newspaper, man.
What is this juggler man you talk about? He's a world-famous performer. Why does he have to come here and cause trouble?
No, well. Because I guess that's what performers do. The city council is causing him problems. The police are causing him problems.
No.
Let's look at what happened with, the pressure. It's like this is a technique that works, not one that I'm maybe willing to engage in, but it's like it worked. You know, Tom went out there, juggled, got arrested, tried to get the law clarified, you know, hauled away, didn't get any press, but it got back to the city council. He communicated with the council. The council knew that he was going to come back. And him and one of the Karamazovs, Tim First, were going to go out there and re-challenge that law again and invite everybody to come out and get arrested and embarrass the shit out of the city. Oh, my God. Well, what do you know? The city council all of a sudden comes up with some emergency findings, you know. It's an emergency. We got to pass this juggling revision.
We are in the midst of a budget crisis. It's truly a budget crisis. We have a real problem. And, of course, then our troops overseas are fighting very hard for the freedom of Iraq. Now, I don't understand why it is people like yourself are devoted your energy to all these negative perspectives. And what is all this business about juggling? I mean, how much? No one goes after the jugglers downtown. Who cares about the jugglers? I don't care about the jugglers. You don't care about the jugglers. No one cares about the jugglers. So what is this all about?
Well, I guess we shouldn't care about the jugglers. You're right, Neil.
No. The jugglers are fine. I've got nothing against the jugglers. They juggle here. They juggle there. They juggle where they do.
Well, what did they say? First they came for the jugglers and they didn't speak up because there wasn't a juggler. Then they came for the swamis. What
no,
then?
That's a good point. You know, I did notice there was something about the tarot card reading licenses, you know. This man came up to me, he said that he could not read the tarot card because that was, truly saying, required a license. And I thought, my goodness, what is the business about a license and requiring a tarot card? But that is another matter. That is another matter entirely. That's not something we should discuss at this time.
Okay, fine. Shutting down the dialogue. Oh, Thank you, Swami,
for your educational involvement here. Well, it's a big learning. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, you look at Tom's efforts in that, and it's like, you know, based on the national and international media that Tom Naughty and Tim First could generate negatively for the city of Santa Cruz motivated the city council to respond. I mean, in their own inept way, they find some emergency thing, you know, now, okay, juggling. Yes, democracy has been saved, I guess. We can freely express ourselves by juggling. I mean, once again, I just think it's like this Band-Aid stuff, and okay, it's squeaky wheel stuff, and I don't begrudge, you know, jugglers having their freedom to juggle downtown, but it's this Band-Aid approach to a whole slew of bad ordinances that the council promised to revisit after an amount of time in practice to see, and they haven't done it yet, and I have heard no no communication from the council that they were ever going to do this. I mean, they took long enough to do the exemption zones. I mean, you okay, give credit where credit is due. They finally did it, although almost nobody wanted them. They said they were going to do it a month after they passed it. It should have been done before the end of February. I mean, it took some nudging, I guess, I don't know, from whoever, you know.
They didn't really, and it wasn't an exemption, it was a, what? It was the smallest exemption zone.
Well, it was the most limited amount that they could get away with. And
in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz at the Scribner statue and in front of the...
And that had been identified back in March, actually, according to assistant city manager. I mean, so that could have been passed, you know, way back when, and that was the Scribner statue was identified back on March 7th.
I think the reason they
as a potential zone, and they never acted on it.
They wanted to avoid, I think the whole idea is to avoid public discussion of any of this stuff.
Well, just hopes that it will go away. I mean, that's the whole point of, like, you know, the strategy for me right now is to raise the issue, continually raise this issue in front of the city council until they deal with it in the manner, not that I want them to deal with it, but in the manner that they promised this community that they would deal with it, and that they have not done. So it's a matter of let's hold our elected officials accountable for their words.
Now you invited Mike Rodkin and Scott Kennedy to debate with you, have you not?
Well, Rodkin, I did leave a message with Rodkin, and I got no response. Kennedy, I haven't approached directly. I understand that he made himself available.
Yeah,
on a free radio show that he would be willing to debate the issues, and I'd be love, you know, I don't even know about debate. Let's discuss these issues. That's fine. I'll discuss these issues with anybody. It's like this is part of the ongoing dialogue that I thought the city would do way too much to derail and give so much lip service to, and there was absolutely no follow-through and absolutely no implementation. So let's start with that. Let's just start by holding the city council accountable.
You know, it seems to me, unfortunately, the only way you get these people to listen is if you have sufficient power. And again, the question is, how do you raise that? I had suggested at one point that people show up instead at the city manager's office in numbers.
The real power behind the throne.
Why go to the front man? You know, why talk to Bush when you can go to the oil company?
The figureheads, right. Why talk to the figureheads?
And in the last 3 minutes, let me quickly do an update on the situation overseas.
There is, rumor has it, there's still some kind of conflict going on. I know, we hate to discuss that, but in Iraq, you know, strange little country over there, or I should say the 51st U.S. Protectorate, you know, the Iraq, the U.S. Protectorate over there in Baghdad. Anything happening on the peace front, Joe? I know that there used to be a concern about the U.S. troops being over there in Iraq, about the imperialist power, should we say, not only destroying its own credibility, its own dignity, its own integrity, and eating up, what, $4 billion a month over in Iraq, but also losing lives and spending lives. Is that all sort of a thing of the past?
It's very much on the front burner as far as, like, how do you address this? I mean, it's once again a matter of tactics, you know, how are you going to deal with it? But, yeah, it's time to be back in the streets. I agree with that. Call for U.S. withdrawal or turn it at least over to the United Nations so we're not viewed as we currently are, as a rogue nation ourselves around the world. You know, America's starting to be increasingly hated, and it's because of our policies outside the border. You know, most people in this country are, like, seem to be rather clueless. So what we're doing overseas, we've got bases, we've got troops in over 140 countries. You need to tell me it does not meet the definition of imperial power. I challenge you to, like, you know, come up with your own definition. That makes more sense.
Well, I have heard Senator Kerry
has called for the withdrawal of troops.
He has, yesterday.
Amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Kucinich did call for the withdrawal of troops back in April, but he has not repeated that call since the U.S. actually won. And when I asked his office a week ago about that, they couldn't give me a definitive answer about whether they wanted the troops out.
Yeah.
Barr's office did say he had made no statement about withdrawing
troops. Right, neither has Barbara Lee about withdrawing troops. Kerry, yeah, I mean, keep an eye on Kerry. Kerry was one of the original founders, believe it or not, of Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and was part of that whole Dewey Canyon 3 thing back in 71, where all these Vietnam War veterans camped out in front of the White House, and they eventually culminated in throwing their medals over the fence at the Congress in disgust at what they had done over there. So Kerry has retreated somewhat towards the middle since then, but he might be, prepared, especially with this latest statement calling for withdrawal. I mean, he's been in combat. He knows what the troops face, and he might be the one to actually challenge Bush on this and maybe win. Somebody was telling me yesterday that as much of a Kucinich supporter as they are, that a Kerry Kucinich ticket might just be the way to go.
Yeah, Senator Kerry, end U.S. occupation of Iraq. U.S. Senator and Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry called for an end to the occupation of Iraq and criticized the administration's use of now discredited intelligence. Also, a Republican committee head actually talked about withdrawing from Iraq. That was yesterday's Washington Post, I believe. His comments were a little ambiguous in the sense that he said, we want to be out of there as soon as we can. I mean, he was saying things of that sort, which didn't sound too Republican, but it sounded, you know, music to my ears. A lot of stuff I was going to read today. We are up against 1 o'clock, okay. And our next... I don't know if it's a talk show host or just an interloper. Actually, the two. Are you the next talk show host? No, okay. We got some new folks coming in. You actually get a little music for once. We're hoping George can persuade. What are we going to call him? You used to call him Stalemate Scott. I'm not sure what the story is. Scott has had so many names in the street shit sheet. That's my little publication in the course of his. Councilship, but I don't know what this current name is. He is, in fact, guided by Gandhi. Yeah, that's why he passed the no beggars, thank you, on Santa Cruz after dark. I mean, after all, Gandhi, to an extent, but let's not get carried away. I'll be back with another edition of Bathroom Spears Broadside, 6 o'clock on Thursday. You can come to the Huff meeting and Huff and Puff with me, 8:30 on Wednesday at Baker Square. You can come to City Council at the 3 o'clock session and pull some of these items off the consent agenda and try to talk for 3 minutes until they tell you you have to come back at 11:30 at night, although they might not, you know, I mean... Call Emily Riley and demand that discussion be allowed in a democratic process, or else you'll invoke the Brown Act, which means you have to find yourself a good lawyer, or else start doing some legal research yourself. Updates. I've also got updates coming up, and I'll give those to you on Thursday on chalking. I am going into court to get a demurrer in the chalking case. I'm going into court to in search of a murgy emotion on a jaywalking case. I'm just going into court, man. Call me Mr. Kortsky. These are all have to do with things like walking across the street when there was a big peace rally and I got a jaywalking ticket. That was 3 months before I got a jaywalking ticket for walking across Pacific Avenue. My walking is getting pretty dangerous down there. Chalking no war in the street is considered a crime, but they charge you with defacing the sidewalk. It's a little peculiar. I'm not quite sure how they do that, but I'm going to ask Commissioner Joseph to explain it all to me. Of course, he won't let you hear that explanation. I can record it, but he will not allow me to play it on the air or lest I go to jail for contempt of court. That's how it goes. Anyway, thank you for being with me. And again, for those of you who are really sticklers, tomorrow at 1:30 in the City Manager's Conference Room, you can hear a discussion of the City Council talking about the county cutbacks affecting the city budget. You can get your slash the police budget buttons at the Huff table. Come on down and give me a call if you want to do some picketing of the Pacific Trading Company and the Candy Jackson shoes. And who knows when Y Swami Y will reappear in his role as elder statesman. Thank you, Joe Williams, for being with me. And I'm sorry we didn't have more time to actually go through that tape, but it looks like they couldn't give a shit, the City Council. And then you and I have kind of covered it a number of times. So.
Remain an issue. It'll remain an issue, and I'm sure we'll get to it again.
Hey, thank you, Joe. And that's
the Mark Levy song. I'm gonna
well, now you heard about Dallas, Fantasy Isle, American Dream, affluent style. But Robin Leach might be surprised by what I see before my eyes, watching lifestyles of the poor and nameless, sleeping on the city street. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon, you and me. Spare some change, I need a bite, just to survive.
It's an awful fight. I spend my time collecting cans while you're out working on your tans on lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles
TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless coming soon. You and me. You and me. Now 30,000 children died while some politician lied. They bust the starving kid who steals while the fat cats make their sweetheart deals on lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Sleeping on a city street. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Coming soon. You and me.
Robin Screech here with another thrilling episode of Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless. Today's journey takes us to the streets of your city, where we'll visit the homeless in their native habitats, street corners of makeshift cardboard shelters, sewer grate and doorway bedrooms, soup line kitchens lit by blazing oil barrel fireplaces, alleyways of the addicted, the unemployed, the destitute, the insane, eating and sleeping in the most unlikely places. It's all here on Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless.
Now, in the ghetto, there's always room for the ethnic population boom. The melting pot boils past the brim while the people's future's looking grim on lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Sleeping on a city street. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Coming soon, you and me.